Since we have a quorum and read the lengthy instructions. And I think, first of all, I'd like to welcome our new commissioner, Commissioner Quinn Vo Ramirez from, is that North Valley?
Yes.
Yeah. Commissioner from the North Valley. I get North and South confused. Anyway, Commissioner from the North Valley. And I know the North Valley is looking forward to meeting you. So welcome to the commission. And I'll read the instructions. Good afternoon. I believe we're being recorded. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners today, and the date is Monday, March the 18th, 2019. If you wish to become more involved in the Neighborhood Council system and are not on our mailing list, please sign up at the table on the sign-in at the sign-in kiosk. You can also sign up on your phone by texting commission to 555-888. During the meeting today, we will discuss the list. Sorry. During the meeting today, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available to you on the table in the back or the side? In the back? In the back. Thank you. Any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the discussion, during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting and may allocate time in 1 minute increments per item when the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period for 5 minutes on multiple agenda items that are on today's agenda. If you have a general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, you may provide your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to individuals. Please understand that there are applicable laws that limit the actions we may take during today's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you have expressed. However, your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Should you wish to comment on this meeting, please fill out an electronic speaker request on the speaker card kiosk for each agenda item you wish to address so that you may be heard. You will be called when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the agenda item you wish to speak about on the speaker request form. Speaker requests may be filled out using the speaker card kiosk located on the table or by texting commission to 555-888 or via the website empowerla.org, commission policies and meetings. If you intend to speak on any item, you must submit your electronic speaker request prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any other discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phone ringers to vibrate or silent. And I thank you very much for listening to all those instructions. So our meeting will now officially be called to order, a roll call.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Yeah, here.
Commissioner Lippman?
Here.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Derekitos, absent. Commissioner Webby, absent. Commissioner Regalado?
Here.
Commissioner Vo Ramirez?
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. Just a moment, I'm just getting the minutes from the... this meeting. And what's on this agenda? General comments regarding agenda item. Is this before I do the comments on the agenda? Is that before I do the reading of the minutes?
No.
Do the reading of the minutes? Okay. Just trying to get the order of the agenda. Okay, number one, we have to, on the agenda is to approve the minutes from February 5th, 2019 meeting in the evening that was at Brantford Recreation Center. Is there a motion to accept the minutes, or are there any corrections to the minutes as written? And just to make a note, Commissioner Wiebe just came into the room. Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Oh, nobody else will go?
Commissioner Wiebe.
Ooh, we almost have a full committee. Yes. First, I had asked Lynn about do I do public comment or do I do the reading of the minutes first? So,
you take public comment before you take action on the item. Yeah. It looked like it was about to be.
Oh, okay. So we'll take public comments on the agenda, and that is first Sandy Capps on the agenda.
Hi. Yes. I actually did a speaker card for agenda item 14, and I'm placed as number 13.
Oh, okay. So you really want to speak on 13?
No, I just, for the correction of the minutes,
I had
signed in for 14,
Okay. 13. All right. Okay, so there was a correction on the agenda item for the minutes. Is that it? That was it for the agenda? Okay. So Herman, Mr. Herman? He has remarks about the agenda.
Well, I haven't even got a chance to sit down and the clock starts. Well, it's time to put an end to the incident regarding how the gas company has stolen millions of dollars that were allocated to the empowerment.
Which item is that?
That's the one regarding LLC from Mike Fuhrer's office, Mr. Paul Pardis, P-A-R-A-D-I-S for the record, the jackass attorney from Mike Fuhrer's office that was engaging in bad.
What agenda item number is that, Mr. Herman?
Public comment.
General comment?
Yeah, ma'am.
Then you should save it for public comment.
Pardon me?
But it must be within our jurisdiction.
It is in the jurisdiction because we, the public, are the legislative body of the Brown Act, and we're the ones demanding. Or can you hold my time?
Okay. Hold on. Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, at this time, they're not taking general public comment. They're addressing agenda item number 3. Which is approval of the minutes. So did you have a card that you wanted to speak on that otherwise?
No, she called me. I signed up on item 5.
Okay, so we'll save, they'll save the 120, the remainder of the time that you have, but on.
Well, I've only used 1 minute, so I.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That will be allocated when it's time for you to be called up at the appropriate time.
Oh, caps. Here. Sandy.
And Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, I'd like to remind the commission, since this is being recorded, I don't know if it's being a live publication.
It's live.
It is live. Then I would remind the commissioners that to please identify yourself when you're speaking, and to also, you should wait until recognized by the president and not just blurt out.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So we'll save that for the public comment period. Okay. All right. So we have the approval. Any motion on the minutes?
Motion to approve as corrected.
Okay. Any second? A second?
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by you? Seconded by Commissioner Regalado to accept the minutes from February 5th. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Minutes. The motion is passed to accept the minutes. Okay, number four is discussion with neighborhood council representatives on any neighborhood council resolution. I'm assuming that there's no community impact statements that have been submitted to the department.
Not on these items today.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's number four. Number five, multiple agenda items. Are there any items where the public would like to comment on multiple items for a total period or just wait to allot? Wait to allot for each topic. Wait to allot for each topic. You get a minute to talk on each topic or 5 minutes to talk now on all of the topics that you're interested in. And please refer to the item that you're talking about.
So,
excuse me, Mr. Herman, before you start, Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, I just want to clarify the time. Mr. Herman, are you going to use? You've already used 1 minute, so you have 4 minutes total left.
I'm going to use the multiple card selection that I selected because, by law, the Brown Act says that either you sign up for one item at a time or multiple. So I signed up for multiple. Okay. I'd rather not be confused about that.
Okay. So I just want to be clear because you've already used one minute of the 5 minutes.
Right.
So.
No, I used 1 minute because listening to the president and she called my name, I took that in consideration that I was brought up to speak my 5 minutes, although I was not.
Okay. So you recognize you do have four
minutes.
Well,
I want to recognize my time and just complete my task here.
Just give me 5 minutes.
You're going
to
give him?
Yeah.
So.
Hold on just one moment.
This is Commissioner Atkinson, to be fair, when Mr. Herman came up, we interrupted right away.
Absolutely.
Because it was a wrong agenda item that he was speaking on.
Right.
So he really has a total of 5 minutes to speak on a multiple agenda item.
Right.
And that's fine. I just want the record to reflect that the president is exercising your discretion as president to allow
to speak.
Herman, what is your last name?
Herman, for the record, H-E-R-M-A-N.
Mr. Herman, a full 5 minutes.
Yes.
The multiple.
Thank you.
All right.
So, as a representative of neighborhood councils myself, supporting Silver Lake, Van Nuys, Skid Row, and all the homies, I'd like to advise this neighborhood commission that you need to get involved with our money and our saying, fuck the police. Because, again, as we found out, that Mike Fuhrer's LLC, Hitchman, decided not to engage in the interest of the public, creating a conflict of interest regarding the gas leak. And none of you stepped in to demand Mike Fuhrer's office to pay us our $60 million fucking dollars to return it for the overcharge and waste of our gas in our neighborhoods and in our pipes. So Mike Fuhrer, anti-Semitic, prejudiced, white motherfucking Jew, needs to get his shit together and stop contracting jackasses like Mr. Paul P-A-R-A-D, as in Dick, I-S, to do their job. None of this conflict of interest should happen. It shows you the corruption, shows you the malice disregard for protecting public monies, and all of you are part of it. For all I know, Mr. Schaefer likes sucking Eric Garcetti's dick, but that's his choice. I, for the public's behalf, tell you, under the Brown Act, as a legislative chair, that I decide what's good on our behalf and what's good in interest of the public. Fuck you, as I said to the DWP people as well. So Mike Fuhrer, the anti-Semitic fucking Jew, has a bad message in our small little city of Los Angeles. The message he's sending is that I don't give a fuck about the public's interest. I care about myself. The only time you see that jackass Mike Fear doing anything in neighborhood empowerment is when he wants to look good in front of a camera. And he doesn't do shit. Hasn't done shit, but he smells like shit now because the LA Times is putting it out there. Finally, fake news is becoming fact and reality. We're squashing the racist, prejudiced, Jewish fucking community that's fucking up our neighborhoods with their gentrification. For that reason, Boyle Heights, Leakin Heights, El Sereno, Silver Lake are not represented. Because we got neighborhood empowerment that don't do a fucking thing for our behalf, but suck the mayor's cock. And Eric Garcetti is also anti-Semitic cocksucker. He wants people like me that bust your tables and clean your garages and clean your front yards to suck his cock. I refuse. I refuse to be a slave to a white nigger like Eric Garcetti, who claimed he served in the Navy. I think he was baking his ass off in the oven while some other Navy guy was sticking the fucking roller up his ass the way he likes it with Glenn Date, who's on DWP. What a coincidence, right? So there's problems in L.A. still. You should have paid Wayne Spindler off. You should have helped Wayne Spindler, who was protecting you at a time when he wrote on his public comment card regarding the jackasses in Van Nuys about who other than Herman Jason Wesson, the terrorist. The same cunt like Pelosi, the same bitch like Gavin Newsom, who's turned their back on the people. You voted for that faggot from San Francisco because his cunt aunt, Miss Pelosi, protects him. Now he's not following the rules. And Donald Trump is right. Fuck Sacramento. You don't spend taxpayers' dollars on bonds and grants. We're going to take it back. Fuck the bullet train. Fuck all this immigration reform. You want to come into this country legally? Go through due process. Fuck Jose Weezer, the wetback. I'm glad the FBI notices that. And fuck Salesian High School, the Catholic Archdiocese, for fucking young men and making them into faggots like Eric Garcetti, the puto pussy like Jose Weezer. Fuck all of you, 42 USC 1983.
Thank you very much. Item number six, any updates? No, from LA City Council, city representatives, the mayor's office? No. Item number seven, anyone here from the budget advocates? No? Okay, that's number seven. Number eight, is the general public comments from the public on non-agenda items. We just had that, a non-agenda item. So thank you very much, Mr. Herman. Any other remarks on non-agenda items? Okay. Number nine, update and discussion on the Neighborhood Council funding by the Office of the City Clerk.
Oh.
You signed up for something else?
Number eight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see. I still don't see it. Okay, number eight. Okay. Then state your name.
Just one second. Let me just. I'm gonna pull this up. Hi. Oh, my name is Sandy Capps, and I am speaking on behalf of myself on my own time as an individual. I listened to a bonk meeting that took place in June of 2018 of the recorded minutes, and I was appalled when I heard what a public comment had been made by Lydia Grant, and I just want to play it for you for 40. It's 46 seconds.
Is it a public comment by who?
Lydia Grant.
One of the other reforms that I would like to see done. We have a very, very serious issue. and I want to do it in a way that you understand. I would like you to meet my friends. I would like you to meet Evil Cindy, the one the last 30 years has destroyed our community, done nothing to help anybody, and does nothing but lie and steal money from the neighborhood council. I would like you to meet Good Cindy. Now, Good Cindy is great. I have nothing bad to say about her. So let's move on to me. You can call me Lying Lydia. I'm the one who steals the community funds. I'm the one that should be put behind bars. I'm the one that my council member supports these things happening to me. I'm giving this to Gracie. I'm not going to pass it around because the lies are so unbelievably slanderous. And the fact that our council member would be behind this just really irritates me. The fact that LAPD's logo is being used in here, Department of Sanitation, gives the entire region, which is this is being put out to, that this is being supported by the city, and this is not okay. So if there's one reform that needs to happen, it needs to happen to protect the reputations of neighborhood council leaders from slanderous liars in the community. We know that they've already gone to the city attorney's office and asked for a full investigation into Cindy and I. You know what? Nobody from the city attorney's office let us know, but I'm going to guarantee you right now, whatever city attorney they went to, the person they went to, said that they were a sheriff, and that is abuse of power of their, it's abuse of... Abuse of, what is it when a police officer does something that's totally not what they're supposed to be? Abuse of power under color of authority. That's what I wanted to say. So I want you to know that the slanderous stuff is being paid for by assembly members, supported by our council member, according to these documents. All of us, at least these nine, and the community members are now on a hit list. How would you like, Deborah and I, I'm just picking on you for a second, how would you like to read on Facebook what you ate for dinner and who you ate it with and where you ate it?
Why I'm going to stop that is that I completely and wholeheartedly agree that the publication that went out about that group of individuals was disgusting. But what I have a problem with is that Lydia Grant has included me as somebody that was in that. When she refers to somebody as going to the city attorney, do I have to stop?
You can finish your sentence.
Okay. Going to the city attorney as a deputy sheriff, that is 100 completely percent wrong. And that herself is slandering, doing the exact same thing that she is complaining about. And I just wanted to clear the record that that was never, ever done.
All right, thank you. Of course, we would never have known unless you mentioned your name. Just a point of information.
The point that public comments are being made.
All right. Thank you.
That are slanderous.
Thank you. Any other general comments? No. Okay. All right. Item number 9, update and discussion of the Neighborhood Council funding by the Office of the City Clerk. Say it again.
I'd just like to thank you for the handout based on my vision and...
Identify yourself, Commissioner.
Commissioner Debbie Wiebe. I just want to thank you for the handout, being that I'm a very visual person and... It's difficult. I know that we're trying to be as paperless as possible, and yet
right.
Between my laptop and the screen, I appreciate that we're doing everything we can to be as paperless as possible, and yet this handout makes it so much easier for me to understand what is happening. So I do appreciate the time you take to create the handout for us.
All right.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Melvin Cañas, Neighborhood Council Funding Program Manager at Office of the City Clerk. I wanted to go over just some general numbers, overview of where we are at this point with the funding program. And so we're March, we're about to end the third quarter of the fiscal year, one more quarter to go. And as of this point, and so what you have with you, the first graphic there is a citywide overview of where neighborhood council, all 99 neighborhood councils officially now are in terms of their use of funds. And then underneath one, you'll see one graphic for the North Valley, followed by the South Valley, Central, East area, West area, South LA area, and the Harbor area, a breakdown of those specific areas of, in terms of the use of their funds. And so let me just, and this is from our public online, our website, our dashboard. The so where we are right now, at this point in time, neighborhood councils have spent or committed about 46% of their funds to this point from the beginning of the fiscal year, about 1.9 million out of their 4.2 million. And just to give you an idea, at this point, last fiscal year, we were at 40%. So we are a little bit ahead compared to last year. In terms of the 40 of the 1.9 million that has been spent, about 38%, a little bit over a third has been spent on operational office expenses. Another third, or a little bit over a third, on outreach, which includes outreach activities, events, as well as other expenses towards outreach purpose, followed by 17% of MPGs, neighborhood purpose grants. And we did see an uptick, of course, on elections. It's at 5% of the expenditures is regarding elections. Yeah, we are in election season, and we expect that number to grow a little bit more before elections are over, of course. So that's a general overview of the entire funding. Check requests are we're just under $2,000 individual check requests that have come in through the online portal. Of those, about 80% have been approved that we received that our funding reps review and we discuss, and 80% have been approved. 16% have been denied or returned to the neighborhood council, where we explain the reason why we deny and how it can be resubmitted, if it's something that can be resubmitted. And there's others there that are monies have been parked, have been set aside for future use, have been encumbered by ENC. Our turnaround in when we receive a check payment request right now is about 2.5 days. This is a little bit over. Last time I was here with you in January, we were at about 2.3, so it's gone up a little bit at 2.5. Our goal is to keep it under 3. Credit card transactions, there have been over a little bit over 4,000 individual credit card transactions. At this point in time, we have 123 receipts that need to be submitted into the portal. Neighborhood councils are taking about 9 days to upload the receipts. Per policy, they have up to 10 days in which they can upload a receipt once the transaction is posted. And so they are right below that threshold. One new piece of information that I haven't given you the last two times or three times has been with MERs, the monthly expenditure reports. At this point, I'm only counting where we should be right now in terms of the deadlines. The deadline every month is the 10th of the month when neighborhood councils are to give us a BAC, a approval for the most recent MER. So, for example, the January MER, the deadline to submit the board action certification was now March 10th, basically about 45 days after the end of the reporting month. Okay, so we give them that time to schedule a board meeting to approve it. We should be at 682 MERs that should be in our hands. We have a 91% submission right now at 621. Of those 621, we have reviewed 94% of them, meaning that our accounting clerks go through the MER reports to see if they're in compliance with accounting requirements. Right now, we have 9 neighborhood councils that are, according to our policies, would be delinquent, and there would be grounds to freeze their funds, meaning there are 2 or more consecutive reports that are missing, and that's CanDo, Central Alameda, Central San Pedro, Echo Park, Elysian Valley. And so those, this information, we'll be sending it out. We'll be sure to include you as commissioners in the monthly briefings that we send out. Hollywood Studio District, South Central Neighborhood Council, Van Nuys, and Westlake South. So this number goes up and down. The highest that I've seen when we started tracking this more recently, that I've been paying more particular attention to this, we were at about in the high 20s. Then it came down to the teens, then it went up back to the 20s. Right now, we are at the lowest I've seen, it has been 8 or 7. Right now, we're at 9. And so our accounting clerks, when they review where they are with submissions, they make sure to get in contact with the financial officers to get those BACs submitted. And so neighborhood councils do respond for the most part. In terms of trainings, we had a training last week on Tuesday the 12th. In the evening at City Hall East. We had about, I want to say about 5, mostly financial officers come to take the training. We have another one scheduled for next week in the daytime on the 26th, also at City Hall East. For those who cannot make it in the evenings, we make it available in the daytime as well. We are available to meet one-on-one when ultimately necessary. If they tell us they're not available and they've been appointed financial officers, they need to come in for a one-on-one training, we can accommodate that, and we've done that. And one particular issue that we're focusing on right now is MERs. We are letting NCs know that, whether we have a, primarily the BAC, the Board Action Certification Form, when it's not, hasn't been submitted by the deadline of the month, we notify them. We do give them some time to give it to us. And so, and most of the time, they do comply. But that is one particular point that we're on right now, especially in light of the rollover that will be coming along. And one of the conditions for neighborhood councils to be receive rollover is to be current with their MER, so they're not in frozen status. Okay. So at this point, we've had good response.
Commissioner Atkinson, so I have a question, because since some of the delinquent neighborhood councils are in my area, I have a question about, are particular staff at the clerk's office assigned to certain areas? I mean, do the neighborhood councils deal with the same staff, you know, like as a, you know, like the NEAs here, you know, at the neighborhood, at the empowerment? Or do they deal with different people every month, whoever gets their paperwork or lack of getting their paperwork?
Yeah, they are assigned particular staff, one from funding representative, which deals with the payment requests.
So if they need help, they know to call that person.
Yeah, email us, call us. Yeah, and then there's also an accounting rep assigned to them. Yeah.
So then my next question is, I've heard it before. So what's the problem with this paperwork not getting in and not being filed correctly? Is it because there are no treasurers, or is it because they just are lax, or they don't know what they're doing? What's the issue that they can be helped in? Because I hear about, you know, 3 or 4 of my neighborhood councils all the time, and, you know, I'd like to have them helped if possible. And oftentimes it's the same ones.
Right. So
then they get better, and then they fall.
And I think I want to say that it's getting better. There has been an improvement. You know, we do advise neighborhood councils to, every month they should be reviewing an MER for the preceding reporting month. So it should be technically a standing item on their agenda to review and approve the monthly expenditure report. One of the things that we're seeing, when for those NCs that do submit an MER, a BAC to us, a document approving, sometimes it's missing a signature on the bottom. A financial officer hasn't signed it.
Just a little sloppy work.
Right. All it says is approval of the MER, but without indication as to what month and the year. So that is a particular requirement that we do ask them to indicate what MER did they review, and that it not be just
a generic. So it's doesn't ever sound like it's anything real serious. It's just really a matter of paperwork and getting it in on time and having the correct signatures and correct dates and...
Correct for those, like I said, and in other cases, which has been the one that's been improved, that in that to agenda, you said, some neighborhood councils, for whatever reason, they may reschedule a meeting because they don't have quorum, or they may, because of if they're in a meeting, they don't have time, they may move on to other items on the agenda, and they may skip the approval of the MER, although I don't know how common that is. But when it comes to that, they did not approve an MER because they didn't have a meeting or they didn't get to it on the agenda. They cannot get more than two or more months behind. Mm-hmm. So they may leave it to the following month. But then now, if for whatever reason you don't have a meeting that following month, now you're getting into that issue of you're having. So
I have another question to the department, but it's in relation to this, because every neighborhood council has an NEA, and so. Do we leave it to the clerk, to the city clerk, to explain these deficiencies through their folks to the neighborhood councils, or can these NEAs who are supposed to be going to these meetings every month help them out? So I want to know what the connection is, or if there is any connection.
Good afternoon. Mike Fong, Director of Policy and Government Relations for the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Our team and department meets regularly with the Office of the City Clerk Funding Division to go over the different issues that are facing the neighborhood councils from a funding perspective. We also do, in addition to regular check-ins with team member to team member, we also do a monthly meeting of the City Clerk Funding Division with our regional teams. So we get together as well, and Mr. Conyers is present at all our meetings as well. So we have a very strong dialogue and collaboration on a number of these issues.
Thank you. That's my question. Any other questions from Commissioner Regalado? Oh,
you had a question. Commissioner Regalado, could you talk to me a little bit, or talk to us a little bit about the plan for rollover, since there now that there are city neighborhood councils that are thinking about that, and how they're going to be able to work that process?
Okay. Right. So. Currently, it is something that we announced in our current policies and guidelines that we issued in January, and it's under, in one of our first policy sections there, 1.1, that we talk about our policy that, generally speaking, NCs are eligible to receive up to $10,000 rolled over from one fiscal year to the next. On a non-cumulative basis, meaning that every fiscal year, you can only get up to $10,000 rolled over to next year's allocation. And so let me just read to you what it says, that a neighborhood council, in order to receive the neighborhood, to receive the rollover, the following must apply that, technically, the neighborhood council cannot be in exhaustive effort status. That is something that the DUN may place a neighborhood council in exhaustive efforts for different reasons. Number two, that your account is not frozen, meaning that is our program, funding program, has not frozen your accounts. And the more common reason why we may freeze an account is because their MERs are not in. There is no accountability. There is accountability missing for how funds are being spent for two or more months. So that is a common reason why we may freeze a neighborhood council funds. There's other reasons, but more commonly it's because of missing MER. So that is why one of the emphasis we're placing right now is on MERs. And the third is that the financial officers, the ones, the board members who are responsible for the, individually responsible for the managing and overseeing of their funds at their neighborhood councils, that they be in good standing when they, at the time that, the rollover is available, meaning that they have been trained, that they received the funding program training, that they have been trained through the ethics, the state ethics training, code of conduct, and pretty much it. So they have, basically a DNC should have financial officers in place to manage the funds. So those would be the conditions for which now DNC would be able to receive the rollover funds.
So we can now start planning what some of these rollover funds might be needed for consideration on rollover at this particular point, depending on project work and depending on other items that are pending that we know may come at the very end of a particular month, say at the end of the fiscal year, or
right. Definitely, you know, we definitely want neighborhood councils to be planning, you know, how their funds are going to be used. So definitely, if you know that you have a project coming up next fiscal year where you feel you're going to need more, you know, funds that can assist you and to accomplish that, you know, definitely plan it. Right. So yes, your answer. Yeah.
Is there a form? Is there a process of that one has to follow to start earmarking those funds available now that people can start looking at and start understanding what that process might be?
So no, there is no form right now. This is in comparison. So this is not necessarily encumbrance of funds, meaning earmarked funds. If you up to $10,000, if you have come June 30th, the end of the fiscal year, if the neighborhood council has up to $10,000 on the table, so to speak, that the NC, you know, for some reason or another did not use during the fiscal year, if these conditions are met or don't apply to you, those funds up to $10,000 will be added to next year's allocation. You know, if the city council says $42,000 again for next fiscal year allocation, and your neighborhood council has $10,000 available, now next fiscal year DNC will start with $52,000. If you have $5,000 left, it will be only those $5,000. If you have $15,000, only the $10,000. So now, of course, we want you as a neighborhood council, your neighborhood councils, to be planning what those funds would be used for. Yeah, definitely. You know,
and
yeah.
Who determines whether the expenditure or the funding rollover is appropriate or not appropriate? Is that something for the city clerk to identify, or is that something the neighborhood council identifies?
Say that again?
Who identifies the appropriateness or the appropriate amount or the appropriate effort or project that these monies will be held and rolled over? I mean, if we, as a neighborhood council, says, okay, we have a project that's going to happen, we're going to do it at a particular time, say in July, and we mm-hmm. need to encumber those funds, is there a review process? Is there a do you take it for granted that the neighborhood council knows better and they're going to?
No, you know, of course, like any other expenditure right now that the NC does, whether it's an event or a community improvement project or an MPG that your board is, you know, has approved, you know, those types of expenditures in particular do come to our office for us to review, and you know, we review to make sure they comply with policy. So that it would be no different.
I guess I'm still not completely clear because
it automatically rolls over.
But how do you identify a project? How do you identify the amount? Is there, I don't know that there is a form that we have to fill out so that we can make sure that it is being, you know, it's something that's going to actually happen and won't get reviewed and then ultimately looked at and said, no, this doesn't fall under these requirements or whatever, other than those three requirements that I heard you say.
Right. Exactly. This is Petty Santos from the Office of the City Clerk. We aren't putting any requirements on the funds rolling over. We're allowing them to automatically roll over if they exist. And like Melvin was explaining, it's sort of semantics of when the scrutiny happens of the project. But once we roll over your funds, you still can't spend them without going through all the processes that you go through regularly for an expenditure. So the only thing that could get confusing towards the end of the fiscal year, since this is the first year we've done it, is figuring out exactly how much money you have at the end of the year. So we probably are going to have to put a timeline in place so that before we get to July 1, we can kind of be anticipating how much is going to roll over. Because there's always those things that are happening 4th of July. Did you already spend some of that money? You know, did you already plan for it? So That's the only thing that's going to be interesting is making sure that you know exactly how much you have to roll over, and that's definitely our problem and what we're trying to work out on the accounting side is to make sure we know exactly how much money you have to roll over. But as far as scrutinizing it, we went through a lot of machinations of how to put together this policy, and we chose not to scrutinize how you want to use those funds since it is capped at $10,000 and it's not cumulative year after year. So definitely for year one, if $10,000 exists, that will roll over. If $20,000 exists, only 10 will. If $5,000 exists, the entire five can roll over. We're assuming you want this to roll over. I guess we can also put something in place that if you don't want the money, we won't roll it over, but I don't see that being an issue. I'm not even being coy. I'm just there could be people that aren't. We're thinking by making sure that you have a treasurer in place, that you have the requirements in place, that you're not an EE and that you're not frozen funds, that you do want to go ahead and take advantage of the money. Even if you don't know today what you're going to do with it, maybe 6 months into the fiscal year, you'll know what you're going to do with it. I think if it were a cumulative rollover, where you were going to be accumulating up to $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, I think we'd be more concerned about what the use is as it's rolling over.
Thank you.
Commissioner Schaefer.
A couple of questions. Some may be general. I notice you say two or more in opposition to what was said some time ago about three or more. So it's now two is the limit on MERs? Or what do you mean by and or more?
So it's two consecutive months of missing MERs. So that's one condition. The other condition is if throughout the fiscal year, from July till now, we see a pattern where there has been three or more late MERs submitted at different times throughout the fiscal year, then that would be another condition. But the more common one that we see is two or more consecutive.
So let me just get this straight. You said two or more consecutive. Is it two or is it more?
It's starting at two.
Okay, so two consecutive.
Starting at two?
Okay, all right. Two consecutive or three total throughout the... Now, if you have three total throughout the fiscal year, right, but you're current, are you still subject to sanctions?
We discussed that with the NC. We don't take automatic action. We do, you know, even when we've had some neighborhood councils started at two consecutive already, we engage in the discussion. And for example, the holiday season in December, some neighborhood councils go dark, so to speak. They don't call a meeting because of the holidays. Or in the summer, August because of vacation season, they don't meet. So we want that discussion to occur. So we have to understand why. So we do give that flexibility.
So basically, it's discretionary with your department.
Well, those are our rules. So it'll trigger our discussion. It'll trigger us to contact our neighborhood council. Some of the NCs that we've had to freeze at this point is when we have a record where we've attempted to contact them two, three, more, several times, emails, phone calls. We don't get any calls back. So at that point, we send a notice that we're freezing funds because there has been no response.
Okay, because I'm seeing agendas in my area where on the agenda itself, they have the approval of three consecutive MERs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes them eligible, but for some reason, they're still functioning?
So that could be, like I said, one common thing that is happening right now is that a treasurer will upload a BAC for an MER. That completes the package. However, when we go in and review the BAC, we find that the BAC is not fully valid. So we ask the NC to re-agendize it and approve it. And so now they're not only approving the previous month's MER, but now maybe another one behind. So that is the reason why they may have two or three sometimes on the same agenda.
So based on their agenda, there's no way to tell that unless you actually go to the meeting and hear the explanation.
And we do send notice and to the NC as to,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I noticed that training for financial officers, I don't see the alternate second signer in that list of financial officers needing training, in-person training and such. Was that left out purposefully?
Are you referring to our policies?
Your policies.
Okay. The understanding is because they, at that point they do become a financial officer. They do need to go through the same training.
Could you make that more distinct, because it says treasurer, second signer, card holder.
Mm-hmm.
It says nothing about the alternate.
Okay.
I know the alternate is something new, but nothing was in there.
Okay. Okay. We can definitely clarify that, right?
Assuming that, and this goes to, and I've talked to other neighborhood councils in my area, and it has to do with submission of event forms. Assuming that an event is going to be happening 6 months in the future, planning starts, and there are items that will need to be purchased long before the 30 days, which is your limit.
Right.
Will it do anything that will mess up your department if a neighborhood council were to turn in an event form, say, 120 days before the project with a detailed budget, et cetera, et cetera?
No, it wouldn't hurt at all. I mean, it would. We would like to see that more. So I'm sorry. So your question exactly?
Just saying that, is it going to mess anything up with your department if, say, somebody turns in an event form 3 or 4 months in advance and thus doing one condition, might have to amend something as they get a little closer, but otherwise they've got a BAC with the event, with the what's it called, budget, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to do any problems, right?
No. I mean, it wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay. And about how long are you taking now after completion to approve event forms?
To approve an event? Wow. That's a good question. You know what? Each event is very particular. We do have a tracker where we indicate where, when it came in, and when we approved it. We haven't done an average, but because it can differ. I mean, like I said, I think as I mentioned before, we have approved some event requests the same day of, because it may be a forum where something very simple, straightforward, we can approve it right in the same time. We do have one that was submitted, like a few months ago, but with, some back and forth discussion with the vendor and DNC, risk management, that we're still, working on it. So I couldn't give you an average number right now without going through that tracker.
Okay. Maybe you could take a look and come up
yeah.
with some, because I have had questions about
sure.
some neighborhood councils saying, gee, it gets pretty close to my event and I don't know, and nobody said they wanted something extra.
Right.
And suddenly there's a high. Could you please submit thus and so?
Yeah.
We want
to approve them as soon as possible so that also the NC can also do outreach for their event. Technically all the, marketing, if you will, the outreach for that event should be occurring after approval. And so we want to get it out there as soon as possible, so that that can start happening as well. We don't want to hold it up, but with different parties involved, that can be an issue sometimes. So
we'll
definitely work on that. Yeah.
So you're saying then that an NC should not do anything such as send out emails, send out Facebook, send out Instagram, et cetera, concerning an event until the clerk's office has approved it.
Technically speaking, yes. I mean, until an event gets approved, but I know the challenges that can pose. But I know we have discussed it with some neighborhood council where we understand what the remaining documents may be that we need to secure, and the NC may be telling us already, we are going to secure it and we have a commitment. Okay, and then we don't foresee any issue. But sometimes there may be other matters going on that we cannot guarantee anything of where it's going to go. So, but technically speaking, correct. You're correct.
And may I suggest you change your 30 days?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Bring it up to a longer period of time.
Right.
Because it's too tempting to wait until the 30 days or somewhat near the 30 days to try and get everything completed together. You get all the various documents that, some of them you're having trouble getting.
I cannot agree with you more, and I know we've had want to schedule a meeting with city attorney to go over that. I mean, definitely engage also with Dunn to see a greater role for Dunn in the event planning process as well, so that we know, we in the city know what's going on sooner rather than later.
So
right.
this is Commissioner Atkinson. So I must have lost track on that. So it's really, the guideline right now is to get everything in 30 days in advance.
At least.
At least, right?
At least.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's not very good.
I mean, especially with some of these big events that these, you know, that these neighborhood councils plan. You obviously need more time to approve everything. Okay. You might want to consider a different guideline on that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look at it realistically. How long does it really take you to okay something, big or small or medium-sized event? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can figure that out by now by what folks have been submitting. So if you know a big event takes 2 or 3 months, then maybe the deadline ought to be 2 or 3 months in advance. If you know it's just a little town hall meeting and it's not gonna, and maybe that is a 30-day, or maybe something medium, with fewer people is just maybe 2 months. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same for every event, but it seems to me by now you know how long it takes to okay and get permits and get, legal advice or anything that you have to do or that neighborhood councils have to deal with vendors. And it just seems to me that we need to be a little bit more realistic on how long it takes to do these things. And I know that we like to be uniform and like everything the same, but everything the same doesn't always work, mm-hmm. and you don't need as much time on small events. But big events, I'm real concerned about, they can't really plan anything until it gets okayed, and if you're okaying something, just a few weeks ahead of the event, it's kind of bad. So it's just, my
opinion.
One last question.
Hopefully we'll hear something when you come back and you tell us you changed your guidelines.
One last question. Some people were asking me, why did you remove the red line version of your plan from the website?
Oh, yeah. In the notice that we sent in January, we said, for the next 30 days, the updates or new parts, new sections to the policies will be marked in red, so they're easier to find. And then, so after the 30 days, we'll make it all black, yeah.
A lot of people didn't notice it, but some people kept the red line version, fortunately, so it can go to those that are still looking for
it. Okay, yeah, well, I still have my red line version. It makes it easier for me.
So I just kind of wondered what it was. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Thank you.
And just one more request, Commissioner Atkinson again, one more request. Can commissioners, or especially me, can I get a copy of the, or a list of the delinquent neighborhood councils in South L.A., so that I can contact them myself? I go meet, I go to their meetings and stuff like that, and I would like to.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything against the rules for that, is it?
If
you could send me the list of my delinquent folks, it would be real helpful.
Commissioner Regalado, I've just been in communication with my treasurer for the Northwest San Pedro Neighborhood Council, and I indicated what you had just stated, that the process is in place to start thinking about rollover money. She had a conversation with your office on Friday, and they said to hold off because the criteria has not been determined yet. And I think there is where we have probably our biggest challenge working with your office, is that we get conflicting information so often that it's very hard for us to make a determination as to just what we're supposed to do and when. So now we're holding off on trying to plan what our next fiscal year is going to be, as we try to be very thoughtful about that. But we're told hold off because we don't know what the criteria is within the office is at this time. This is as of Friday.
Okay.
So I think we fall into this thing very often, and I was going to talk a little bit about it under agenda item 13 about what I've been doing over the past couple of months in my region, and it seems to be that is the feeling right now, as opposed to feeling comfortable that the process, not just with rollover but with expenditures and planning projects and things like that, it's difficult, extremely difficult.
Okay.
And, I think we have some very on top A1 treasurers in our neighborhood councils that mm-hmm. take this stuff very seriously. And they're going to listen to everything you guys say. But the more challenged aspect of it is that some of our neighborhood councils, especially the ones that are struggling right now, are the ones that don't know how to navigate the process. And they're the ones that are going to get caught up in in what's happening between City Hall here, the city clerk's office, and out in the field. And they're going to be struggling with, okay, what do we do now? How do we do this? How are we going to get the answers? Because it seems sometimes that the answers change between one neighborhood council asking for advice and another one. And that is where we fall. And we're falling into that criteria right now about rollover funds. We're getting different information. And I'm going to go back to a conversation you and I had, Melvin, where we said that you come out and you do
the roundtables.
One of the things when I put that out, right after you and I spoke to it at our alliance meeting, is that why do we want the city clerk to come out and tell us what we can and can't do when there are so many issues that we need to have more conversation about so that there is a clear understanding what some of the pitfalls as neighborhood councils happen, you know, out in the field. But there's no connection and there's no way to talk about that. So, it seems to me that instead of a round table, we need to probably have more of a discussion that goes back and forth to figure out what those pitfalls are and actually have some real good opportunity to discuss how we overcome them. Or maybe to be able to have, you know, an ability to process the decisions that are made by your office and then have the opportunity to maybe even appeal some of your decisions. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is no process in place in that area.
So, just so you know, this week, like we've been doing the last 2 months, we'll be sending out the next round of monthly briefs. And it's already prepared to go. One of the particular emphasis on the brief is the rollover. So basically, the information that we presented to you earlier is what's going to go out on the monthly brief, starting this month and moving forward before the end of the fiscal year, so that this information goes out there, and we try to get everyone on the same page.
But how do we overcome the lack of clear understanding in process between downtown and neighborhood councils? And that's where we seem to have our biggest problem. That's where we seem to, I'm not going to say it's a problem, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's the fault of the city clerk, I'm not saying it's the fault of neighborhood councils. But as I have taken input from our neighborhood councils, there is a feeling that when there is a round table, it's more like we are telling you what you need to know, as opposed to we need to have a conversation because we do have challenges out in our communities in putting together projects, being able to be mindful. I think going back to what Commissioner Schaefer was saying is being able to plan out our projects so that they fulfill all the requirements, do it in a timely manner, work with community partners out there, and make sure that they run seamlessly. But then we come in with pitfalls at the very last minute that says, you can't do this. And we ran into that a few times with one of our projects out in the harbor area. So at the last minute, we're trying to dance through some of these decisions that are made from our position at the last minute so that we can put a good program out there for our community. And I'm not going to say it's as simple as an outreach opportunity, because for me, an outreach opportunity is putting up a table. Here, this is information about our neighborhood council. I'm talking about real substantive events that are engaging our youth, that are engaging our senior population, that are engaging communities of color, communities of economic distress, things that are hitting our communities all the time that we have to deal with in our work in as neighborhood councils. But when we try to address those needs, we come up with roadblocks or we come up with hurdles that we have to overcome, and it makes our job so much harder. It makes our job so unreasonably hard. Because you're here all day making these determinations. Most of the people who work in our neighborhood councils work a full job. And then at night, they're trying to come up and overcome, some of these plans. And it just makes the job so much harder. I would like to suggest that perhaps maybe we look at roundtables a little bit differently and actually look at how neighborhood councils can actually come together with our city partners, in this case the city clerk's office, and talk about how we can overcome some of these things and have a process in place that if you have a decision that you're making in January, your expectation is, you know, if the decision is made on January 15th, your expectation is that people are going to comply with it come January 30th. And we don't have any idea what those new decisions are. And you may say that you put them out there. Unfortunately, there are decisions that are made that are not being communicated out into the field, and then we have to change up everything.
This is Commissioner Atkinson. Just a quick question. Does the city clerk still have that advisory group of neighborhood councils that they talk to about when they were putting all this kind of plan together?
Yes.
Because it would seem that it would be that we would work through that advisory group because they're made up of neighborhood councils where other neighborhood councils who probably don't even know who those people are or where they come from or who got appointed to it or whatever. But I do know that it's a neighborhood council advisory group. But maybe they need to be a little bit more known so that some of this input can be given to them from neighborhood councils. I mean, it's good to work directly with the clerk because that's important. But there must be a purpose to have an advisory council if you're not going to use it.
Yeah, we used a working group when we were establishing our guidelines, and every now and then we pull a working group together, and it's made up of a member of each of the planning areas. And we haven't gotten them together. The most recent group we met with was the budget advocate, so we haven't met with a neighborhood group on that, pulling a group together since then, that I'm aware of. But we do listen to the concerns and questions that come up. We track them in our office. We gear our trainings and are constantly adding to our trainings different issues that come up. So, you know, we'll continue to work on the San Pedro area. That's why we went out there with the roundtable. Hopefully the word roundtable didn't get to be too much semantics because I believe it was a dialogue, actually, that happened when we met out there. So, you know, it's not like we've got people on the phones all day long answering questions. So,
and just to end this discussion on a positive note, I must say that I went to a VANC meeting last week, and I've talked to neighborhood councils. And actually, the actual system of how they run their treasuries, these neighborhood councils are feeling more comfortable with how they do their reporting and the whole system. And so I did want to say that the clerk's office is really good about giving us information about what they are doing. And yes, there's going to be kinks and there's going to be information that doesn't get out and these time frames are a little kind of off. But just from talking to some neighborhood councils, I just want to have a kind of a little positive end to this in that they do seem to be accepting the system a little better than the old system. They seem to understand it better, can go online and understand and talk to folks. And I just wanted to make that comment.
We've had a lot of discussion. Commissioner Schaefer, we had a lot of discussion on this $10,000 rollover, and you're making a lot of assumptions. May I assume you have not yet seen, or have you seen, the final ordinance with regards to this, so that these assumptions are based on other than just the city council saying, city attorney, please draw up an ordinance and bring it back to us? Which is it?
I don't believe the rollover is going to be part of an ordinance, but it is a council action, and we are taking direction specifically from the council action that's been approved by the full council.
Okay, so you don't think it's going to be in the ad code? You think it's just going to be...
Otherwise, I think it's just a financial policy that where the city clerk sets up the financial policies. Unless you tell me otherwise, I didn't have any intention of thinking it was going in an ordinance. Just like our guidelines aren't in an ordinance.
Well, I understand, but there's an ordinance that lets you do the guidelines.
Right, and it is considered another financial policy, and there is a council action on it.
Okay. Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, at this time, our office has not been requested to do a new ordinance amendment similar to the previous rollover policy. Right now, we are still addressing the difference of the authority that the city clerk's office has to handle financial matters and others versus the authority that was under Dunn. We have not been asked to look into this matter, so I cannot address it at this point, but I will follow up with the city clerk to make sure that, you know, whether they can just do this under their, you know, authority as the city clerk versus whether, because it involves neighborhood councils, which is a delegated duty, you know, by ordinance, you know, if they still have the same types of restrictions or is impacted in the same way that the department is oftentimes in policy matters.
Thank you, and thank you both.
So, Petty Santos, just to put a final note on that, it was strategic on our part to put the rollover policy out as early as possible. So that's why we had those in the guidelines in January, so that we can get as much feedback as possible. And actually, we haven't had any feedback other than asking us, how do we, where's the form? We have had that question more often than once. We haven't gotten any feedback of anyone saying, well, you should, of the exclusions that we created, we haven't had anyone come, none of the neighborhood councils have voiced any concern over the exclusions that we created, for instance, where I was wondering if that was going to be an issue of concern or not. And because I think we made it so simple to just roll over whatever funds you have up to $10,000. However, Commissioner Schaefer, if you do have any specific concerns, please let us know, because there's this is our first year doing it at the clerk's office, and it's not going to be as simple as it sounds. The devil is really going to be in those details. So if we're headed towards a train wreck, let me know. If you see anything that has a hole in it, let me know, please.
Okay. Thank you. Don't go anywhere, because you're the next topic.
Oh, okay.
item number 10 says, update and discussion on the 2019 Neighborhood Council elections by the Office of the City Clerk.
I know.
That's you guys, right?
I know. So our elections group isn't
different
here.
Same
yeah.
department, but.
Commissioner Schaefer, this is like water and power. There's a water side and a power
yeah.
side.
Yeah. And they're the power side for sure. We're water.
So can you give us an update on the 2019 Neighborhood Council elections?
I almost can. I have a. We do a weekly report, and so we know. We know how many candidates have filed and things like that. But I don't have that with me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But we can make sure. I don't know if the elections folks knew they were asked to be here, so we can make sure they come
next time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We remember to agendize that again for next time. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
Number 11 is the general manager's report. We can ask you about elections, too.
Good afternoon. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public. First off, on behalf of the department and general manager Gracie Liu, we'd like to welcome Commissioner Quinn Vo Ramirez, and we look forward to your participation on the commission and for all your leadership and efforts in the community. A few brief updates on behalf of the department. The Empower LA Awards are next Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. at the City Hall Forecourt. Thank you so much to Commissioners Regalado, Wiebe, and Derek Hiros for their time and efforts as an ad hoc committee last week. And we look forward to a meeting, special meeting on Thursday, March 28th at 3:30 p.m. for the Empower LA Awards nominees. So I encourage all commissioners. We need at least 5 commissioners that day, and would love to have your presence on Thursday, March 28th at 3:30 p.m. The meeting will be held at the department conference room. And each commissioner will be presenting their regional award at the Empower LA Awards. So if you're able to stay for the dinner, the presentations will happen probably around 7:30. And we'd love to have each commissioner present their region, the award for the Empower LA Awards. And we're so thankful to Controller Ron Galpin for emceeing the event. And we have nearly 200 RSVPs thus far. And if you have not yet RSVP'd, please do so, or let Lillian or I know, and we'll RSVP for you. Secondly, thank you so much to Mayor Garcetti and the Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates for a robust meeting last Friday with the mayor. I'm sorry, it was last Thursday with the mayor and the Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates to talk about the upcoming budget cycle. It was a robust discussion, and thank you to Liz Amston and the Budget Advocates for a great meeting with the mayor. Thirdly, the Homelessness Resource Fair has been moved to Saturday, April 20th at Grand Park. I know that's a date for an election, but that was the next available date for Grand Park. And it's Saturday, April 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have nearly 40 organizations signed up thus far to be present at the Homelessness Resource Fair. Want to thank the homelessness advocates and many folks for helping out on the committee. Also want to give a shout out to Mario, Julian, and Mary for their work and efforts on the Homelessness Resource Fair on Saturday, April 20th. Also, we just wrapped up the final round of candidate workshops this past weekend. Thank you so much to Anne-Marie and the election assistants for their work and efforts on doing candidate workshops throughout the city. We just had one in West LA on Saturday, so thank you to her and her team. So those are some brief updates on behalf of the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment.
Any questions for the general manager? No? I have a question, though. I want to know a little bit more about the election outreach, since that's what the department is supposed to be doing. Like I said, I was at Vank last week, and I've talked to a few neighborhood councils, and so some of them are still spending some of their money to do their own outreach, and they acted like they were unimpressed with what the department was doing, but I would like to know what the department is doing for outreach, since you're really, you know, kind of overseeing that.
Thank you so much. Mike Fong with the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. In terms of outreach, the elections outreach team has been doing a number of workshops. We just wrapped up the candidate workshops throughout the city. In the Valley, we also had what we called the Rally in the Valley. Spectrum One News covered it, and I can send everyone a clip of that. But that had, was anybody here at that rally? Mr. Schaefer, were you there? The Rally in the Valley?
Of course.
Okay, of course. So that was a great elections outreach event on behalf of the department that we believe that was held. Tom Sung and Anne-Marie and team did a great job on that. There were over 100 folks there on a Saturday morning a few weeks back. We just had a workshop in West LA on Saturday at the Iman Center. The elections assistants have been doing a lot of work. We targeted 30 neighborhood councils for additional outreach. So if there's any neighborhood council that would like additional support and outreach support from our department, please let me know, and I will talk to Tom Sung and the elections outreach team to make sure that we have a robust turnout. We have very much contested elections in most neighbor council elections, and the elections actually will be starting, as you know, on Sunday, March 31st in Region 5, and then Region 6 will be on April 4th, Region 7 on April 6th, Region 8 on April 13th, and so on. So we are pushing hard on elections outreach, and if there's any additional workshops, candidate workshops, information that we need to get out, please let me know, and I'll work with Tom and our team to make sure that additional outreach is happening. For a number of neighbor councils, we also sent mailers out to different areas that didn't have as many candidates initially in the beginning, so we targeted different areas for a mail program, meaning we sent out a piece in English and a piece in Spanish to various neighborhoods, encouraging them to be aware of the neighbor council system and to participate and run if they were interested, or inviting them to a workshop to learn more about what a neighbor council is. In the Westlake area, I know we did a program with Walking Man where we gave everyone flyers to let everyone know about the upcoming elections. So different areas have had different outreach methods. If there's a particular neighbor council that feels that they haven't had enough outreach and would like more outreach, we can work and strategize with that neighbor council on making sure that we have a robust election in that area.
So, Commissioner Atkinson, so I'm thinking it's like two kinds of outreach. The first outreach is to get people to run for office. Does it look like we've got a pretty good number of candidates that are running in these neighborhood councils for their board of directors? Do you keep track of that or know who's? I know it's on the computer, and I mean, I know it's on the website. Do we know if folks are filing for those seats, and if it's, you know, because so many times you look and you see that there's vacancy, because people are not running. Does it seem to be, has anybody looked at it to see if it's any better as far as participation in running for the seat?
Absolutely, great question. In terms of the running of the seats, we have contested elections in over 90% of the neighbor councils, I believe. There were a couple of neighbor councils that had non-contested elections, so we're going to certify those folks sooner. But over 90% of neighborhood councils have contested elections, and that's with everyone's hard work around the table, to the commissioners, to the outreach of the department, to the city clerks for running the elections. We have contested elections in many seats, and we are always in trying to encourage more candidates to run. A lot of times folks waited to the very, some folks would strategically would wait till the last minute, not the last minute, but the last hour or minute to really look at who's running, and then depending if they were, if they qualified for multiple seats, they would want, obviously wanted a an easier route if they didn't want a contested election. But we were encouraging candidates to run, to file, and our period was over 30 days for each of these regions, and so that's a robust opportunity for folks to be engaged. I know that regions 5 through 8, at least in the beginning part, they, some of the candidate filing opened around the holidays, so that was a little bit more of a challenging time frame. But throughout the candidate workshops, as we went around the city with the rally in the valley, with the event in West LA, I was at an event in South LA just about 2 weeks ago. There were a number of election-related candidate events to really encourage folks to learn more about the system and to run. So we can get you those numbers, and I can get you the exact numbers as to the contested elections and the candidate filing numbers. I'll work with the city clerk's office to get those exact numbers.
Any questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Schaefer?
No. Okay. Quick question. With regards to those neighborhood councils that are going to be certified because of no elections, what is the time period between the closing of what would have been the election and the certification of the board? Is there some time lapse? Because technically, with no election, they're no longer a board. So what are you doing about that?
That's a great question. So in terms of the, we're going through one particular situation now in the Glassell Park area, and then we have one particular situation like that in Westlake. So in terms of the certification, we, as soon as the city clerk will send out an email saying that the candidate filing is closed and that if there are no contested results, then they will let the candidates know. And then from there, our neighbor empowerment advocates would work with the board that was existing and then work with the incoming board to make sure that there's a smooth transition. So we're working through those issues as now. And but you're looking for a specific time frame, right? So.
What I'm asking is, what authority does the prior board have before they're certified as the new board? Let's say that there's people who've never been on the board. Perhaps they don't have enough for a quorum, or even if they do have enough for a quorum, assuming they have enough for a quorum, can they still act as a board until the certification, or are they just out of luck and nothing can happen until the department moves forward with some process?
We so for Westlake North, we're working through that process now with they're an exhaustive effort, so that's a different situation. But we, with the existing board and then the transition to the new board, we, once the city clerk certifies it and there's nobody contesting any of the results, then we'll work with the incoming neighbor council to help them set the agenda as well. So I'll get you the specifics on that. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes. Thank you. You know, okay, Commissioner Wavy, with the two districts that are coming up first for the elections being the central area, and with one of the neighborhood councils that is behind in their documentation with their funding, I'm just curious what the outreach has been, or if there has been any reaching from 5 and 6 to the department for any assistance with, if you can give me any feedback on how they're doing with their candidates and outreach, and just give me your sense of what you think maybe the outcomes or your sense of what's going on with 5 and 6 right now.
Great question. Thank you, Commissioner Wiebe. In terms of regions 5 and 6, the elections are, one's on Sunday, March 31st, and then the other one's on Thursday, April 4th. So we really want to make sure that they're contested elections, that they're getting robust outreach. We're doing as much as we can right now to really do targeted outreach in those areas and to turn out voters. And sometimes there might be a hot issue in that community that will really drive out voters. So I think each neighbor council, Westlake South and Westlake North are not going to have elections, but I believe the rest of them are having elections. So I think the outreach, anything we can do to really drive it is something that we're doing right now to really make sure that adequate election outreach and robust outreach has been done. So.
Well, I know the Hollywood Studio District has had some issues in attracting board members, and yet they're very passionate about their area, so I don't know if they need any outreach or...
So Hollywood Studio District, Thompson, Lorenzo, and I actually chatted with Roger, I believe, and we were trying to work with him. This is about 2 weeks ago, so we're doing some additional outreach there. And then we also talked to somebody else from the that neighbor council, I believe. So if there's any additional folks who would like us to do any additional outreach, if they want to reach out to you or to me or to Lorenzo or to any of our teams, we can make sure that that is being done now.
I appreciate the detailed information and the fact that the department is able to give us that feedback. And I'd also like to just comment on all of the information that fellow commissioners have been able to give when it comes to their specific experience with funding and the detailed information that comes out of their areas and their neighborhood councils. I know I've been very quiet today, but when something is being said that doesn't need to be repeated by another individual, I just want you all to know how much I appreciate your input and the work that you're already doing. It's great to be here with you. That's it. I know Eli's ready to jump in.
Yeah.
Mr. Lipman, well, your turn.
So, I think thank you, Mike, and we appreciate Commissioner Lipman. We appreciate the department's update. We had wanted the city clerk really to come here because they were the ones really administering the election, and so, you know, not getting a report from them is disappointing, particularly since there was a couple $100,000 in money that was budgeted and allocated to elections for the online election. System that the city clerk still has and was reallocated by city council to do outreach. And so I think it's really important, because those are public funds, to have a report on what that money is being spent on. And so I would really, if I need to reach out to city clerk or the department does, we should really see kind of a report on what those outreach funds are being expended upon. I think also, you know, I know that like 30 neighborhood councils were targeted, but it'd be interesting or be helpful to see what the numbers were in terms of both candidates that ran compared to previous years, and we've seen reports like that in the past, as well as people voting in elections. We've seen reports on that in the past. In terms of the data, you guys have been really good with data, so it'd be really helpful to see some of that data. So I don't know if you want to respond. You don't have to necessarily.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Lipman. In terms of the candidate data and all the outreach that's been done, we obviously want to see the uptake. And then I know whether it's Councilmember Rue, the commission, everyone, it's really want to make sure that we are doing robust outreach, so we can get you that data, and I'll work with Tom and team. Along with the city clerk's office to get that information. And then we'll also circle back with the Office of City Clerk Elections Division to make sure that we have a report back in the next meeting.
Okay. The other item I would kind of encourage the department to take the lead on in terms of outreach is I really loved this Moms LA partnership where they're highlighting mothers who are serving their neighborhood councils in partnership with Moms LA, which is run by a mom from Mar Vista who's on her neighborhood council. And so I think that's really been fantastic. I'd love to see that kind of expanded, and I think there's a real opportunity to partner and reach out to the 15 communications deputies in the city of Los Angeles for each council district, and to encourage them to identify a story, an individual that has a really interesting story in their neighborhood, who's participated in their neighborhood council, has made a difference, and work with them to pitch that story to Larchmont News, or the downtown news outlet, or LA Daily News, or LA Times, or KPCC, or KCRW, or any news outlet that serves that particular district. Because I think, you know, if we can partner with city council offices in not only uplifting voices that have been critical to reshaping their neighborhood in a positive way, that not only sort of promotes the neighborhood council system as a whole, but it also just strengthens the partnership that we need to have with city council. And really, you know, also just highlights great people out there like Ray. I think we should do a story on Ray.
That's a great idea.
All right, maybe not Ray, but he doesn't want to do it. But no, I think they're, you know, or maybe Len. I hear Len runs a neighborhood council in Encino.
Oh, absolutely, Mr.
Or Tarzana, one of those. No, but I think there are really great stories out there, and we should be working with each city council district to try to get those stories out, because it benefits them as much as it does the system.
Absolutely, Mr. Lipman. We actually convened a meeting with city council offices and their staff prior to the whole elections phase about a few months ago, so we can circle back with the representatives from each of the offices and try to highlight a neighbor council story. But that's a great idea. So, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, we have public comment on item number 11. Wayne?
Yes, so that's very good. So I notice you ducked us again in the valley. We're supposed to be meeting in Reseda in a nice field meeting nearby me and my puppets, but you guys ducked out. Why is it you don't want to meet in Encino? You don't want to meet in Reseda? What's the problem? You don't want to come out to my neck of the woods with my gangsters, my foes? You don't want to come out there? Nah. You know, you view the wrong people as the enemy. See, I'm not the enemy. I'm going to be the solution to all this. Now, you don't partner with any of these council members. They don't need partners. They're going to be indicted real soon. Now, what they're waiting on is a couple of things. First, why hasn't Mr. Spindler been paid yet? Well, that's because our judge in federal court likes to dismiss good cases. So maybe he's getting some money. We'll find out. So I have to go to the Ninth Circuit, and I got to spend another $10,000. I'll spend whatever the fuck I need to, because I'm going to get justice for this enormous shit going on for the past 3 years. You guys allowed me to be labeled a terrorist. That's not a good thing. That don't go down well with my bank and my bankers. So now let's talk about the bank. The president of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council is not being paid and reimbursed for over $500. You gave him a credit card that doesn't work, so he has to use his own credit card to pay out of pocket for expenses. That you keep lying to him, his credit card's good. He puts it in the machine, doot, declined, doot, declined, doot, declined, doot, declined. Please get the president of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council his reimbursement, because the guy's having fights with his wife. You imagine that? This guy wants to serve the community, and he's risking divorce and separation from his children over $500. Get out there and get him his money, please.
Thank you. Item number 12 is a discussion and possible action to clarify the 2016 minute policy resolution by amending the policy so that meeting minutes are to be in written form. That's the discussion for number 12. Where did that motion come from? Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I was trying to get the copy. Agenda item number 12, yeah. So it this is the suggested amendment to the written minutes suggestion that I can read it. The neighborhood councils are required to post meeting minutes for board meetings as follows. Neighborhood councils shall keep written minutes of all regular and special board meetings. Minutes of all regular board meetings shall be on the agenda of the following regular board meeting for approval by the board. Minutes of special board meetings shall be on the agenda for the next regular or special board meeting that occurs at least 30 days after the special board meeting. Approved written minutes of all board meetings shall be posted on the neighborhood council's website, or if a neighborhood council does not have a website, via a system made available to them by the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment within 30 days of the regular or special meeting at which they are approved. Dependent on staff resources, minutes of all regular and special board meetings shall be approved within 60 days of the meeting to which they apply. Minutes shall contain, at a minimum, the following information: start time of the meeting, the roll call of neighborhood council board members, noting the time of the any members who arrive after the meeting is called to order or who leave before the adjournment of the meeting. The actions taken on any agenda item, including the board vote count of each board member by name, noting how they voted for or against, or abstained, recused, or ineligible or absent in roll call or other type of notation. The minutes shall also note how the neighborhood council counts abstentions. Any person who observes a violation of this policy should first notify the president of the secretary of the neighborhood council, requesting that the violation be corrected. If the violation is not corrected within 30 days, the person observing the violation should notify the board of neighborhood commissioners at commission@empowerla.org. Upon receiving a notification, the commissioner or commissioners whose region contains the offending neighborhood council will take action to communicate to the neighborhood council the need to correct the violation. If the neighborhood council does not correct the violation within 30 days after notice from the commissioner, then either the commissioner or any other person may notify the department after verification. The department shall then retain temporary staff at the neighborhood council's expense to prepare and post minutes pursuant to this policy. The only change is that we added the word written. Everything else remains the same as it has been in the regulations. We just commented on the written. And so that is the suggested correction to the minutes.
I would move, Commissioner Schaefer, the agenda item in its entirety. And with regards to amending the policy to include the word written in the two places that were emphasized by the commission president upon reading.
Yeah, we're going to get it on first. Is there a second to that?
Commissioner Wavy seconds the motion.
Okay, so it's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Wiebe to accept the inclusion of the word written into the regulations for minutes. And we have public comment. Mr. Previn.
Sure. Do you also have me on the 11, on item number 11, or no? Let me speak for the time appropriate.
Anyway, let me start with the item about the minutes, because I think it's right before us, and Schaffer moved it, and Wiebe seconded. So I think it's a great area. I mean, people should keep minutes. We in the Studio City Neighborhood Council feel that at the board meetings, we try to make recordings as well so that people can play it back if they can't make it there. Because just seeing how people voted, as you know, we're an advisory group to the city. The votes have different levels of import. It is important to know the outcome, but some people want to hear the discussion. So that's why we've required in our group that we make recordings of our meetings, you know, but there's no enforcement. And I don't know how you're going to take on the role of enforcing, quite frankly. That's the other concern, because Board of Commissioners is not much of an enforcement division. So, you know, I think that people should do this, but frankly, rather than having yet another ordinance to trip people up, and this one doesn't bother me that much, what should happen is that the neighborhood powermen, staffers who are responsible for the neighborhood councils should brief themselves on what's the appropriate protocol, and as they do now, kind of notify, hey, you need to do that because that's part of our process. I mean, I think that would be a lot more friendly, but, you know, I don't think it's going to get to 60 days and they're not posting the minutes. If you give someone a friendly note to post the minutes, they post the minutes. I was looking through your minutes recently. You guys keep minutes as well, and I could not find a number of bylaw amendment approval items that apparently had come before or don't come before this group. So there's another area where I'm concerned, because we had in Studio City, as you recall, and we have, frankly, a terrible system wherein there's a kind of inbreeding among the categories for voting, so it's impossible to get a person to participate in our election, although we've got 31 candidates and obviously are doing the best we can. We tried to change it and simplify it, and we made amendments. Our whole board approved it. Everybody, we took it right to the mayor, everybody, and they just freezed us out on the rule that there was a moratorium. And then we found that others were changing in November of 2018, so it made it seem like there was a complete double standard. So, you know, do you keep track of what you vote on this one with minutes?
Okay.
You do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wayne.
So it's amazing, you know. I had to go Friday. I went to the State Bar of California Board of Trustees meeting. Did you know they have a thing like this? Yeah. They came all the way down from San Francisco just to see me. Isn't that nice? But, you see, they don't keep minutes, because they forgot they're subject to the State Bagley-Keene Act, which is like the Brown Act. So you know what they did? They surrounded me and threw me out of the headquarters down there in Figueroa and 8th. Right out in the goddamn street, they said, nigga, leave. Isn't that nice? The State Bar of California is as criminal as our mayor here. Isn't that amazing? See, that's the problem. You got to have legal counsel. That's what he's talking about. That's what I was talking about with the reimbursement. You're not represented by legal counsel. You're represented by criminalized legal counsel. That's the problem, see? So here's what I did. I took my bar card out. I put it on the table, and I says, how much? Buy me out. And they didn't have an answer. This is the problem. You're running a thing like a mafia organization, so I come to the Familia to buy out. That's what we used to do in the 70s and 80s. In 1952, my father bought out for $100 and moved from Chicago to Los Angeles. He bought out. He's a mafia. And now in 2019, the same mafia is controlling the State Bar, the mayor's office, the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, the city council. And that's why the FBI is all over the place, because the feds are tired of this stuff. So what you got to do is you got a cleanup operation. Out with the mops, out with the detergent, clean up this city. That's what you have to do. It's a systemic failure.
Any other discussion on item number 12 before we take a vote? Any questions on it? All right. Are we ready for a motion? Oh, Mr. Schaffer?
One comment just for clarification. For clarification, the reason that this amendment is being offered is that some neighborhood councils believe that putting up a video or some other thing was more than sufficient. However, that would be a great burden upon various people to have to go through the entire thing to be able to find out what was done and who voted on what and such as that. So this is the clarification of that particular policy.
Any other remarks? Are we ready for the question? All in favor, signify by raising your hand, please. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Number 13, oh, we're almost at the end. Number 13 is commission business. Comments from commissioners on subject matters within the board's jurisdiction. I'm Commissioner Atkinson. I'll go first.
Okay.
And then you can go second.
Well, thank you.
Then I'll go.
So I go to the Valley Alliance last week for their 16th year anniversary. There was a lot of staff there. It was, you know, it was a nice event as usual when they have their anniversary every year. Pardon me?
Can you call? Recognize me.
Did I do it?
Recognize me before you continue.
For the. Okay.
Yeah. Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, can you check your records to see if Mr. Previn had submitted a public comment card on number 11 General Manager's report that was overlooked that he was not?
He's down here on 12.
I'll see if he was also on 11 and he may have been overlooked not called before.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, 11 and 13.
Okay. So was it 11, 13 or 11 and 12?
Oh, did I miss you on number 11?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you on number 11. It was a big gap in between number 11 and number 13.
11, I believe, was Mr. Fong's
report. So number 11 was on, I'm sorry.
So Mr. Previn, can you...
Oh, on the general manager's, on the general manager's report.
Motion to reopen item 11. I'll give you a couple of minutes on the election because
I got you on everything.
Yeah. Spindler is very good at getting them all. Let's stay on the subject. 11.
Okay, number 11.
Just before you speak.
Yeah, take your time.
Yes, let's follow.
And that's on the general manager's report.
We reopen 11 so we can take public comment from Mr. Previn.
Okay, so a motion was made to open item number 11.
Second.
And seconded by Commissioner Regalado. It was moved by Commissioner Schaefer, seconded by Commissioner Regalado. Sorry, Mr. Previn.
No, no.
Vote. Discussion, vote.
Got to vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor of reopening number 11? Unanimous.
I would appreciate and just take a moment to acknowledge Hawkins, who scrupulously follows the rules and the law. So there's just, you know, let it be said. That said, you know, the election activities, I'll give you a second on that, because we have had a tough time. I don't know why that was the case. I would just like to say to Schaffer that the posting of minutes is always something that we want to. The reason why in Studio City we relied on the audio recording, and I agree with the speaker who said you also want to see the written down detail. It's okay, Schaffer. The reason why was because our secretary, Rita Villa, quit and went to work for the mayor at the Cannabis Commission, which, as you know, is experiencing all sorts of setbacks and difficulties, and we have 100 preferential licenses and about 200 groups completely being blocked from getting any relief, even though this has all been legalized and they're holding rent, and it's very bad. But that said, that was the reason why we just post those. And then we're going to retroactively post them appropriately with the votes. There's nothing to hide, and you can see it all if you're interested. And most of the stuff we vote on are community impact statements and stuff that are already public and on the agenda, so there's no secrets, just to be clear, Schaffer. Now, there are secrets about the rules for bylaw amendments. Now, they're not secret in the sense that you don't tell people who need to know, but you don't advertise it much at all. It's sort of in the bottom of Gracie's note at once a year, and it opens the window. And because of the doubling up of years, because of her transition to the odd or even whatever it is, we have had virtually no time to amend our bylaws. And when we made the effort to do it and submit a beautiful package of clean, where the people can vote for the candidates they want, I mean, all of you would look at it and go, kudos. In fact, I think Fawn maybe want to give us an award for the work we did. But then it stood there for 2 months, and nobody had the wherewithal, including the mayor, to change it, to allow us to make our little Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, you know, if we're like little leaves of a big bird. We're like one little, not leaves, wings. One little wing in Studio City fly. But instead, yeah, crash and burn. And we're trying. We're going to do our best. We always try to maintain, but that's what we had. Now, item 13, should I roll into that or no?
You did 13, didn't you?
No, I'm just warming up on 11.
Well, item 13, commission business.
Oh, commission business. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And let me just say congratulations for all the business you're doing. There's a lot of stuff to take care of. And as I said, you're not an enforcement group, but I know you're trying to pay attention to the basic rules. And in line with that, we should all be aware, and I think Rudin knows and certainly Carmen Hawkins knows, that there was a Brown Act case that was settled. The city of Los Angeles was challenged by Eric Previn about special meetings. Those are the ones that are noticed with just 24-hour notice when you, oops, we forgot to put it on the agenda, and you just give 24-hour notice, put something on the agenda. The city has taken the position that if they'd heard something in committee before, they don't have to take any comments. But the law sort of was very clear when we looked at it, me and my lawyer, and it said that if it's a special meeting, you have to take a comment on a notice agenda. That's why it's written that way. And upstairs or downstairs at the city attorney's office, they came up with some contorted explanation that, you know, the judge at Superior Court knew was wrong but said, I'm sorry, smart people disagree. So we had to double down, spend $1,000, go to the appellate court, go before all the fancy judges who said the city of Los Angeles is wrong. Mr. Previn is right. Now, I was embarrassed because I don't like to be called out in front of other people, but we're happy to take the victory, and it's a victory not for Eric Previn or the people, but for all the public who want to speak on items that are put on agenda. So let's make sure that all the groups know that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Number 13.
That's right. See, so let's go. See, now you have to close number 11. I move to close and approve item number 11. So move. Second. Call for the vote. Any objections? No. All right. See, this
Please
one
don't,
is...
Don't mumble, Mr. Wayne. I can't
see, this is
mumble.
The problem. That's
oh,
right. It's the problem is that Herb Wesson started all this shit when he put my ass on television... In that arrest in 2016, May 13, 2016, you arrest me for felony 422A. They put my face and name over in Europe. It got so big. Now, when that happened, some old friends of mine saw me and went, thought he was dead. See, you guys got to learn from my example. When you got a problem, settle it. And it should have settled this fast. So now, what are you going to do now? See, FBI is not me. See, I'm not an FBI agent. I can't control what they're going to do. I can't do anything. But they're not nice people. FBI, crazy assholes. They crazy horse, okay? See, me, I'm just a businessman. But these people are fucking fanatics. That's the thing. So we still didn't close the item. Did I get public comment on number 11, or am I really talking on number 13, or am I back on number 11, a.k.a. number 13? And did it increase my time from 5 minutes to seven because it was reopening? Nobody knows. The only person who knows is Carmen Hawkins. That's it. The only person who knows. Not even Miss Wiebe knows. She thought she knew. But it'll be my secret, and it'll be Carmen Hawkins' secret.
Thank you.
So, as Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, and he confused me on which item he was speaking to, but for the record, can we entertain a motion to close discussion on number 11?
So moved, Commissioner Schaefer.
Seconded, Commissioner Libman.
All in favor? Do we motion? Motion passed. Okay. Back to commission business. Because I have a question I had talked to Eli about. I went to Vank, and there's still issues, and it's always an issue, you go to the bank event was so nice, and everybody's all lovey-dovey, and everything is just a wonderful, and they have a wonderful reception, and all the politicians come, and they speak, and it's great. Ignoring the fact that they have problems in neighborhood councils of people getting along with each other. And even at that bank event, there were people from one neighborhood council, and their enemies were on the other side of the room, and everybody was being nice, though, at that event. And so we got into a discussion about leadership development, and then, of course, I stayed on one subject, which was leadership development for new people. New people are running for the board, for these boards at these neighborhood councils, and have no idea what they're running for. And I said that I would make it an issue, but we need to have some kind of leadership development for people that are going on boards. And I don't mean after they go on the board. I mean they should go. These neighborhood councils set up these workshops so you can come and learn about this, about the offices you're running for, but nobody goes and nobody makes them go. And somehow that's fine because everything is volunteer. But then they get on the neighborhood councils and they don't know what the heck they're doing. Then someone mentioned that, well, you know, even old members need to go through leadership training because they don't know how to deal with the new members. And so there's a lack getting along, there's a lack of advocacy, there's a lack of conflict resolution, and I always mention and talk to, when it's conflict resolution, I always talk to my friend Avis Ritter-Thomas about how she deals with conflict resolution, and she says, do new people on going on a neighborhood council have to go through it? I said, no, they don't have to go through any kind of leadership training, and certainly no advocacy or conflict resolution training. She says, well, why don't you, you know, how do you make that a policy? I said, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like anybody really wants to do it, and there might be some ramifications of not being able to do it, even though it was set up at the city attorney's office one time. So I want to talk about that. I talked to Eli about it and mentioned it in passing a little bit when we met with Councilman Rue, and I just want to know, how do we do that? Do we set up an ad hoc committee to look at leadership development and conflict resolution as either mandatory, volunteer, you know, bribing the people to take the class? How do we? I mean, is there? It is legal to do that, isn't it? To have a leadership development policy, isn't it? I guess that's my question. It seems that we avoid it, so I'm wondering if it's not. Somehow, we're not supposed to do leadership development. Is that a question for the department?
Mike Fong with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. Thank you, Madam President Atkinson, for comments about leadership development. As a department, we try to do I know there's the required trainings, the ethics, code of conduct, the funding trainings that every neighbor council board member must do. We do offer the Civic University, and we're going to actually offer that July 15th, July 22nd, and July 29th. For folks who might not be aware of how city government works, it's a good entree into learning about city governance, structure, commissions, where neighbor councils fit in the whole scheme of things. And that's in partnership with
Pat
Brown Institute.
How to get along with each other.
Well, Madam President, if you, in terms of the Civic University leadership training, we have nearly 180 neighbor council board members that get that have that workshop. It's over 3 classes. It's a 9-hour course. I encourage any commissioner who would like to attend to come and check it out as well if you haven't done so already. But in terms of leadership development, in terms of board dynamics, we try to work with the Human Relations Commission if it rises to that level of different dynamics issues. We try to, you know, we have the code of civility, the code of conduct that is passed by the board neighbor commissioners.
If we make folks take an ethics training, and we make folks take treasury training, then how come we can't make folks take leadership training?
The leadership.
If you're going to run for a board seat. And in the ethics training, we make past board members even re-up sometimes. So not only do they take ethics training, then they got to take it again just to be sure they're, you know, up to speed. So why can't we do leadership development that way?
We also have the onboarding of the different neighbor councils. So a lot of neighbor councils do a strategic planning retreat, you know, spend a whole day looking at what their goals, objectives, what they want to accomplish this going year, the executive leadership will help a lot of times set the agenda for that neighborhood council. I think with any body organization, with any type of folks that are on there, you're going to have different folks that have different styles of working. So I think in a leadership development training or retreat, we can analyze where folks are coming in from, what some of their priorities are, how to make sure that their voice is being heard. But board dynamics is a very critical issue, and issues that rise up to issues that we need to bring in folks, we'll bring in mediators, we'll work with the city attorney's office, we'll work with the Human Relations Commission. But
I have another issue. I hate to interrupt you, but you're not telling me anything. And the other issue I have is that when I talk to neighborhood councils and those who believe in, you know, some folks will say, oh, yeah, we really believe in leadership council, but they never think they need it. But anyway, folks were saying when we were talking last week, oh, we need leadership development. And I would think that the department really needs it because staff gets really mistreated at these neighborhood council meetings. And I'm not going to name names or talk about staff who I talk to, but they have neighborhood council people cussing them out. They have to be professional because they work for the empowerment, and they don't talk back. And I was, you know, telling the staffers, I said, if anybody got ugly with me, I would talk back. But of course, I'm a volunteer like everybody else, so I can do what I want to do. But as a staff person, they feel real uncomfortable. And I went to one of my neighborhood council, but it wasn't a contentious meeting, but I went to one of my neighborhood councils and I was talking to the NEA, and I said, you know, you need to explain to them this or this or so or something that was going on. And, you know, she was reluctant because she got the impression she shouldn't interfere too much. She shouldn't say too much. You know, don't get folks upset. I said, well, if you're telling them the rules, how can they get upset? Well, though, you know, it's not good. So I want to protect the staff because I really do like the staff at Dunn. I think they do really good work, but I think they're being mistreated, and I think neighborhood council people don't like each other, so they're being mistreated. The folks don't go through training. New board members don't know what the heck they're doing on the board, and they're just running because maybe at some future time they want to run for city council. And it's very, very frustrating because we seem to not want to take care of the issue. We kind of just want to, well, let's just leave the neighborhood councils alone. They got to follow the money rules, and they got to follow the minutes, and they got to follow their bylaws, but let's just don't worry about them getting along. Let's just don't worry about them being leaders. And we do a whole program. I've got some beautiful books that I asked the department to give me on getting women to run for the board of to run for the neighborhood councils. And it's a great book about how you prepare yourself to run and about leadership. And it's great. Why don't we teach this and make folks take this course, you know, take a course. And it's just very, very frustrating. And I'm, you know, I know I'm expressing myself again for the 100th time on this issue, but I really think that we ought to discuss some kind of leadership training. If you can write a really nice it's a really good book on women running for neighborhood councils, then it seems to me we could do it for everybody, and it seems to me there could be some kind of advocacy training and showing folks how to get along. And in some of my neighborhood councils when I go, I always tell folks they don't really have to like each other. They have to come to an agreement on what they can accomplish. That's all you want your neighborhood council folks to do. But they get contentious and have to call the police and, you know, we better get a lawyer and we better sue and we better do this or that. And to me, it's very, very frustrating. And it must be frustrating for, I'm assuming it must be frustrating for the city attorney because they must be getting these calls, you know. But everybody is, well, yeah, it's frustrating. We're trying to deal with it the best we can, but it's just not really, you know, you deal with it case by case, but you don't really deal with the problem as a whole.
Commissioner Wiebe, I agree with what you're saying, and I understand the frustration. And for those of us who have been involved in the neighborhood council effort for 15 plus years from the inception understand that there are always going to be misunderstandings within neighborhood councils. But I believe that what our experience has taught us is that when there are policies and procedures that are in place, when people come into the neighborhood council, then there is less debate and less, for lack of a better word, bickering, because there is an understanding of how things are to work. I find that when individuals come into the neighborhood council system and feel that there is no sense of process, then there is more conflict. I also have sensed from this commission that the frustrations that we see within our neighborhood councils very well can be resolved if there are some procedures in place that everyone must adhere to. Those things have come to light when we had our town halls specifically about planning. And it has been agreed in the town halls and now with the changes that we hope are going to come through about planning, that if you are a planning chair, you will have specific training in planning. And we also hope that most of the neighborhood councils that have committees will also encourage their committee members to take training on planning. Huge area of conflict if you have people who are making decisions on planning and they have no concept of what the rules are for planning. So there you open yourself up to a lot of debate if individuals on a board don't understand what the rules are in place, what the city can and cannot do. So I would hope that what we can do is form an ad hoc committee and look at what we can do. This is what going on my fourth year here now, and this is a thread that has been constant. We call it leadership training. We call it conflict resolution. There must be an overall title, something that is compatible with what the city attorney's office tells us we can do, something compatible with what the department, and I agree, the department does a fabulous job with what they are allowed to do and the tools that they have had the economic basis to produce. There are other things that we would like to see in their hands. I've had the same experience at meetings where representatives from the department will say, please, you go as the commissioner, you go represent and speak about that issue, because, in my words, they're going to tear apart that person from the department, and that is completely wrong. There needs to be respect all the way around for our department. As commissioners, we're volunteers, so we can say a lot of things and know that we don't get the heat. We can speak more or less the feeling of what it is that we've been through. We can represent the policy and know that we're not going to get chewed out.
And Commissioner Atkinson, just one more thing. There are conflict resolution specialists, and there are programs that can be initiated that you can deal with the leadership in a neighborhood council or a committee within the neighborhood council on how to deal with conflict. There are certain technical things that folks are going to always know in dealing with their committees, but they have to know each other and recognize the talents of each other, and a conflict resolution specialist knows how to do that. Now, I don't know if I'm saying then that maybe I should appoint an ad hoc committee to look at this, and I don't know if I'd save that for the next agenda to discuss it, but I wanted to bring it up as commission business, because it's something that I would really seriously like to deal with before I'm no longer a commissioner.
Commissioner Wavy, I would just like to say that because this has been a threat, and it's certainly something that I think all of us have felt at the grassroots level, to me, it's certainly something worth exploring and finding out what we can or cannot do, and why not?
So, what's our legal?
Well, just a point of clarification.
So, what's our procedure that we should?
Just a can or cannot do of what? Because I've heard.
Set up a leadership development program, like we set up ethics training, like we set up treasury training. Why can't we set up leadership hyphen conflict resolution training?
Is that to ask the department to do that?
I
just want a point of clarification, because if we're going to put it on the next.
I believe it should be, just like they have to do training on everything else. I believe that there should be training on conflict resolution and leadership development. But I might be wrong, but there's a better way of doing it.
I'm sorry, can I just finish my thought before we go into something else?
Commissioner Rigolato. Right.
Well, yes, and perhaps I'm using the wrong terminology. This is Commissioner Wavy again. Whenever you go into a job, there's a job description, and I think that too often people go into neighborhood councils not understanding what the job is or what the expectations are there.
Commissioner Rigolato.
I truly believe that there is a level of framing and understanding a person needs when they start walking into a neighborhood council environment. Whether you're going to be a participant sitting or attendee sitting out in the audience, or if you're going to be sitting around the table with other members who have been elected to represent a constituency. I have experience in a few different situations where people will feel that they are actually there representing their own personal agendas versus the agenda of the community. Right. And I think it's mostly because they are unaware as just what it is that they are there and what their role is as a member of the neighborhood neighborhood council member. If I could suggest that perhaps, I think your idea is along a very good path, but you have different aspects of just exactly what it is that you're hoping to accomplish. And I think not only are you looking at what it is you need as a neighborhood council member, but I do believe that there is also other aspects of the role that they play, and that is, you know, understanding what their role is, what group dynamics play into that neighborhood council, because I would suspect, I'm willing to say that each neighborhood council, their group dynamics is as varied as fingerprints. Every single one of them is running a little bit differently. And that's based on the leadership and so on. I would like to perhaps just throw out the possibility that if this is the road we're finding ourselves starting to point ourselves in, that we consider very, very thoughtfully what it is that we're hoping to accomplish, because I think leadership development is one thing. Group dynamics is a completely different thing. And if either one of those things do not work, then you fall into the need for perhaps conflict resolution or whatever.
I know what Attorney Hawkins.
Right. Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins, this longer discussion you're going into is way off topic, as this has not been agendized. However, what I'd like to point out, I'll point out, is that under the admin code, under the duty section for the department, it is, and I'll just help you out, I'll cite the section, It's under Admin Code Section 22.801. Under Section H, Subsection H, one of the responsibilities of the department is to arrange training for department staff and neighborhood councils, officers, and staff, such as training in leadership, cultural awareness, dispute mediation, civics, communications, equipment utilization, and any other training necessary to achieve the goals as set forth in a previous section. So I would maybe suggest or recommend that you can just have someone from your commission maybe meet with the department, and you guys can have a discussion to address some of the questions that you have raised today on how that can be done. And then maybe at the next meeting, if the commission wants to look at, you know, dealing with this further, at that point maybe you can then agendize your creation of an ad hoc committee to move forward.
So there, according to the code, there is room to do that, some sort of leadership training. We just have to put a structure on it, really.
Well, it's already the responsibility.
Yeah, it's already doing it, but they're not doing it.
So what you should do is
we respectfully disagree here.
I would suggest or recommend to the president that maybe you and another person can meet with the department to review this, and then after you have your conversations there, if you feel that you want to do something further, then you should agendize that to address at the next meeting. I believe Commissioner Schaefer has a comment that he would like to make in following up on this.
Commissioner?
Following up on this before I get to some other things. Perhaps we could inquire of the city attorney to let us know, one, is there any authority that either we, the city clerk, or the department has over persons prior to becoming a candidate? Two, once having become a candidate, would there be some way that the city clerk, as the administrator of the elections, could mandate training, or the department mandate training? And last but not least, whether or not we as a commission could pass a policy that would become part of the neighborhood council bylaws that would apply to those persons who become candidates, as well as perhaps persons are already part of their board. This would be something perhaps we could come up and ask them about at our next meeting, because those are all questions that I think would have to be answered before we could do anything.
Okay. So what we would request, if the president or someone else would, you know, send us an email outlining, you know, what your line of, you know, what the issues are that you would like to have us to address, and we can report back at the next meeting or report directly to the president prior to the next meeting.
All right.
Yeah. Can I get to another subject?
Would you like to make a public comment?
No.
I would recommend, since we have kind of gone off topic, that you may want to allow a public comment as to this conversation that is just.
You want to do that before I get into it? Your choice.
Did you fill out a?
No, not on this, because I.
Well, we're still on 13, so.
Okay. Yeah.
The commission president can take.
Did you want to say something regarding?
Yes, real quick.
You have a minute.
I just wanted to say, as also. Stakeholder, but also sitting on a neighborhood council newly as of August. We, in our neighborhood council, we went to the bank, and I did hear your comment at the Alliance presentation, but it is very important that also the, as you guys said that the old also take the training as well as the new, because the old rules have changed, and sometimes I think that's where the conflict comes in. So it would be great if the ad hoc committee could take that into consideration.
We'll take it all under advisement.
Can I finish my comment? Because I didn't get a chance to finish my comment before we got into it.
So
what I'm going to suggest, because I may not remember this because of my age, when it
you
comes
are
up
still
again,
a young man, trust me.
is so I'm going to suggest that if any consideration be developed as to how this process is going to look, I would like to advocate for us to make sure that there is input from the various, or from representatives from various neighborhood councils or areas, so that we make sure that we are asking them to do something that they have a buy-in, mm-hmm. and something that they want to learn. Because there are going to be some who don't care, and you're going to get your biggest kickback by those people who just don't care. They feel that their neighborhood council is there for them, and this is where I was kind of leading. So if we can make sure that whatever the process might be, whatever we're allowed to, you know, to look at, that we do get some feedback, some input by members of neighborhood council, so that we give them what they want.
Well, we'll have to see what we want to look at, and so we'll write up something and then get an opinion. Commissioner Schaefer?
Mr. Schaefer, along that line, perfect segue, the first Saturday of this month, I was at the LANC meeting, and they brought up something. You know, of course, that there's the LANC and other what's called coalitions and such around the city, that one got very upset with our talking about forming a particular ad hoc committee, and two, thinking we shouldn't have ad hoc committees because they don't know what's going on. I thought I was going to talk for about 5 or 10 minutes at the LANC, and it ended up being about a 50-minute conversation with the people who were there. And I tried to distill it down. I forgot about the fact that I said, ignoring the fact that you don't want us doing ad hoc committees and ignoring the fact that you don't want us to make any rules concerning alliances. And they kind of agreed that I had distilled it. And what I think we should look at as a commission before we form an ad hoc committee on anything is, first of all, have it on the agenda with discussion and possible action, so that if we start getting close to consensus, at least we're not violating the Brown Act. Number one, why are we forming this ad hoc committee? You know, what is it we're going to discuss? What's its purpose? What's the goal of this ad hoc committee that we'd like to form? And then give it a couple of meetings for neighborhood councils to have the opportunity to weigh in on what it is we might be looking at. Because their biggest objection is that we form an ad hoc committee, we come up with something, bring it to the commission, they haven't weighed in on it, and now they're fighting a battle to change something that perhaps is already written in stone. And this is causing them a lot of consternation, a lot of grief. And they'd like to see that change. They'd like to see a chance. One reason they don't want us to have ad hoc committee is so that they can come and give their thoughts. But there was the idea that if they had the opportunity before we ever got started, if they knew what the subject was going to be, that they could weigh in, either coming to our meetings to make comments, if it's agendized, they could send us emails, they could be part of this process before we got it started. So I think that is something we should really, really consider as part of how we do things in the future with some of these things. Next, future agenda items. Things that I think that this commission should look at. One, mandatory in bylaws, most neighborhood councils have it, some don't, censure and removal provision, but they should be standardized. The language and procedure should be there, standardized, because they're different at different neighborhood councils. And this is causing some of our city partners a lot of grief when somebody says, are they doing this right? Why are they doing this? How are they doing this? Et cetera, et cetera. And then things get misinterpreted and such as that. So I think that's something we should consider looking at in the future. The other is our code of conduct. Our code of conduct, when we brought it out, as you'll recall, or maybe you don't, but our head city attorney, Darren Martinez, suggested that we use the word should, very aspirational. This is what people should be doing. It's not mandatory. It has no real consequences to it. It's a thing that says, hi, we'd like you to do it this way. And perhaps we could revisit our code of conduct. And remember, it's conduct, not speech. There's a big difference between conduct and speech, and we would have to really look at it carefully with the help from the city attorney and look at what type of conduct would have consequences. Because what I've gotten from many people in my area, in the South Valley and North Valley before we had a North Valley commissioner, or one that at least went out to the North Valley and got information, was mistreatment at neighborhood council meetings by various board members against other board members. And nobody was doing anything. And this was turning some people off. They were actually leaving neighborhood councils. So I think as a future agenda item, we should consider the idea of coming up with some type of enforcement procedure with regards to our code of conduct. Again, as I emphasize, remembering conduct, not speech. And that's where we have to be very careful, and that's where we would need guidance from our city attorneys. So those are the two things that I'm going to put out here today. Oh, one last thing. Thank you, Joy, for speaking up at the bank. You guys were never there when this commission got the Razzie Award. And the particular president and founder dared me to come up and accept it. I did. And for 10 minutes, I rattled their cages. You did a very nice job. Thank you.
Did you rattle cages?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, they complain about it, they, as they always do, that you don't need a board of neighborhood commissioners. Right. You just don't need them. And, you know, my theory was, yeah, you do, because all they seem to think that we sit around and try to think of stuff just to bug neighborhood councils. You know, just let's just come up with some kind of procedure that just bugs the hell out of them. And so my first statement was that I wanted to make it really clear that any ideas we come up with come from them. Every idea that we have comes from a neighborhood council.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Come out of our head or out of the air. It always comes from a neighborhood council. And it was interesting enough that they were pretty nice to me.
To you, yes.
Well, it meant to be. they were pretty nice. But anyway, so, yeah, it's always an interesting group. But anyway.
We're still on
13. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still on
13. Yeah. Are you done? I mean, did you want to say something?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Okay, Commissioner Wavy. All right, I'm here with positive news.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, I would like to start by thanking the department. Yes, I was asked to take part in something that I had heard of before, but I really didn't understand the depth of, I've forgotten the title, but it is Beyond Neighborhood Councils, I believe, is the title. And at first I wonder why is the department getting people involved in something beyond neighborhood councils? But it actually ended up being something that really, I think, gives neighborhood councils an opportunity to shine and not only give information about different commissions, but I learned a lot about different commissions. And also the different people within the department
were there and in wonderful support. I mean, the coordination, first, I'd just like to thank John Donnell for asking me to support the Board of support to represent Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. They were also a representative of the Human Relations Commission and Department of Water and Power Commission.
Oh, wow.
Mid-City West Neighborhood Council, which is not, well, no, I'm sorry, I take it back. It is one of my neighborhood councils, but I am not, council member Paul Koretz is not a commissioner in my particular area, but put that aside, he was a very powerful speaker and really spoke to the grassroots of being a council member and how he started as a neighborhood watch person and really spoke to the heart of neighborhood councils. So that I saw how that really rang true with the people that were there. And so this was really coordinated by Mid-City West, National Council of Jewish Women, and so it was hosted in their facility on Fairfax Boulevard. To have the other commissioners there and to talk about how they became commissioners and the questions that came, the emphasis thing that was so powerful there was that every individual should be involved in any way that they feel comfortable and to reach out and to always do what they are passionate about, and it will lead you to what ever experience is connected with your community, and those extended experiences may lead you to be a commissioner, may lead you to a job in the city, it may lead you to be a council member. It went on and on, and I have to thank Mario for being there and having an umbrella ready for me. It was a rainy night. I mean, our people in our Department of Neighborhood Empowerment really went out of their way. They had refreshments. It was just a very inviting and very humbling experience to be there and to be able to represent this commission and let people know what happens here. That brings me to another really exciting experience. We all know that the Getty House invited women for International Women's Day. That being an extension of asking women if they would like to be involved in our state government. Lovely experience. But one of my neighborhood councils has been partnering with the local high schools and actually got money from the neighborhood council and the local businesses to help empower the young women at the high schools. Sure, it was buying T-shirts and helping them with the International Women's Day. But just to know that there are these extensions that we're all involved in, knowing that we're reaching out beyond our neighborhood councils, and our neighborhood councils are reaching out to other community members and empowering our young people at the high school level was just gives me a warm feeling to know that that's happening. And they've also two of the neighborhood councils have come together in my area and sponsored young people to go to speech contests and music contests and other things that they just don't have the funding for. So it's, I think that, yes, there are little hiccups along the way, and I'm so proud of everything that all of you are doing to make the system better, and that means the city attorney's office, the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, and every commissioner sitting here. Yes, we're always going to look for better ways, but there are so many positive things happening with our youth and with our neighborhood councils coming together and doing wonderful projects. So thank you all.
Commissioner Schaefer.
And I want to say something perhaps Commissioner Wiebe wasn't aware of, but in her neck of the woods, Hollywood West and Hollywood United, they put on a really great emergency preparedness fair on Saturday with about 100 people in attendance. It was just absolutely great. I got some good cards and some good ideas, but I was very impressed of those two neighborhood councils putting such a quality panel together in your neck of the woods.
Lovely. Any more good news? I'll take a motion for adjournment. Oh, I'm Attorney Hawkins.
For me.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Drop the mic.
And
Deputy
Yes, we are.
Deputy City Attorney Carmen Hawkins. Today is my last downtown meeting. My last bunk meeting will be Tuesday, April 2nd in San Pedro. And I'll be shortly going on an extended leave and ultimately retiring the end of May. But I have enjoyed my time with the commission. And with
retiring when, May?
The May 24th, I believe. Something like that.
Oh, whatever.
But I'll be taking some time off before that, so I'll actually be gone as of April 10th, and I will be back shortly before the 22nd, something like that. But May 24th will be actually my last official day with the city. But it has been a pleasure.
Where's the party?
Stay tuned. I'll let you know. It'll probably be that the 23rd, 24th of May.
I know where she's going, but I'm not going to tell anybody. thank you so much. You know, I want to mention, you know, when I came on the commission and came in here and saw that Carmen Hawkins was our attorney, I said, my God, I've known Carmen forever. I mean, in politics and just in the community and around. I said, it's really funny because the last commission I came from, I knew the city attorney there, which was Heather Aubrey, and I've known her father. So I knew all these attorneys. When I go to my commissions, I know their attorneys. And Carmen has been so active in the community, and I know we'll miss her in so many organizations that she worked in. And so many things that she's done. And I'm not saying she didn't make me mad as an attorney for the city attorney to always, you know, not really telling me what I could or couldn't do real clearly. But I think I admired the advice and the calmness and the coolness and, you know, kind of the way you should try to explain stuff so that I would accept it. Maybe, but I'm gonna miss Carmen. But I know where she's going, so I'm gonna go and visit.
Yeah, Elisa, we have her phone number, so she can run, but she cannot hide.
As long as she doesn't change the number, she might change that number on us.
I have a feeling she won't change one number. We know where to find her.
Yeah. But anyways. And good luck to all of you without Carmen.
Yes.
And good luck to you.
Good luck to us.
And good luck to us. True. So, Mike.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to, on behalf of the department, acknowledge, thank you so much, Carmen, for all your great leadership and efforts in providing the legal support to the department, to our neighbor empowerment advocates over the years. As you heard from President Atkinson, Carmen Hawkins is not just making it happen for the neighborhood council system, but she's been everywhere around this city on a variety of capacities and making really sure she's empowering the next generation of leaders through her leadership trainings and organizations she's been involved with. And she's also an avid runner. So she's somebody I always see around the community at different 5Ks and 10Ks around town as well. So on behalf of the department, thank you so much, Carmen, for your great leadership and efforts with the neighborhood council system.
Commissioner Debbie, I just have to say, it puts tears in my eyes to know that you won't be here, because I always appreciate being told what will work and what won't work, but I am so happy for you that you are going to be able to do something other than what you have been doing. Your contributions are legend, and good. good for you. Go out there and just enjoy your life. There.
Right on.
Second.
Enjoy your life.
We had a motion plus a second.
I have a, I'll accept a motion for adjournment.
It was.
Oh, we already, did we? Did we have a second?
Yes, second.
Oh.
Bill Ramirez, second.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
I want to contribute some.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Now, Commissioner Bill Ramirez.